Hi, I'm Scott Mullett, and I'm here at the beautiful Woodmark Hotel along the shores of Lake Washington in Kirkland. We're about to sit down with all seven of our city council people to find out just a little bit more about each of them. Please join us. Great. Well, we're here for an interview with newly elected city councilperson Amy Wallen. And what we're going to do, Amy, is we're going to throw out 10 questions of differing degree of insights into you and your persona and your interests, your likes, your dislikes. So what we'll do is we'll start with one end and we'll just move to the other.
Great.
And, so I'm going to start us off right now with our first question here for our talk. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book, I love The Red Tent, which was a story about women in the Middle East set quite a long time ago in biblical times.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them, but I love The Secret Garden from when I was a little girl, mm-hmm. and I read all the Nancy Drew mysteries multiple times, and I loved Laura Ingalls Wilder books. But my favorite recent book is The Power of Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you like about The Power of Now?
I liked... there is a magic in staying in the moment, and I think that we forget that as humans. We go about our daily work, and we're tied up in all of the things that we need to do and have to do, and sometimes it's good to just be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the book really gives you some techniques for being able to do that.
And how would you compare and contrast The Power of Now to the Nancy Drew mysteries and any of that? Any connection there at all between these ones and...
I think they're all about adventure. Uh-huh. Nancy Drew was adventure, Laura Ingalls Wilder was adventure, mm-hmm. and The Power of Now is kind of like adult adventure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Stretching
yourself, how brave are you, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And when you read that, do you put yourself into the specific position and say, well, how brave am I? And
yes.
How much
do you,
am I
did you ever
stretch?
Read that Ian Fleming wrote the Bond books with a very vague description of James Bond so that the reader could put himself into James Bond's position,
mm-hmm.
so that you always would put yourself into the position of being that adventurous person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when you read a book, you tend to do that anyway.
And now they all just compare to Sean Connery.
So that's right. I know. And it totally defeats the point. And I do think they mixed up the characters along the way so that, you know, that was part of that formula, I like to think, so that mm-hmm. you never really knew who James Bond was, you could be him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost a Rorschach test, because you ask someone, who's your favorite Bond?
Yes.
And then it tells you about, like, if someone says Roger Moore, then you know they're not really a very serious
See,
person.
See, now, Roger Moore is my favorite James Bond, and I think it's more about who was your first James Bond film that you saw that you loved.
Oh.
And so that was my era, and that's why
Spies
I love Roger
me?
Moore, exactly.
Or,
remember the guy with the scary teeth? He had
Yeah. I've seen almost, frighteningly so, I've seen most of James Bond.
The Sean Connery version was a little harsh for me, where
yes.
Roger Moore was more of a gentleman, I thought.
The suave. But, you know,
yes.
And he was all about the humor, too.
Right.
He had lots of humor.
And they're bringing that back now. They're bringing back the more gentle Bond, you know, the new guy has... I forget what his name is
Daniel
just at
Craig.
The moment, but he mm-hmm. falls in love, and, you know, Bond
yeah.
isn't supposed to fall
He's
in love.
He's got bigger guns now, though.
Yes, he does. Greater stunts.
21st century, yes.
The stunts
yeah, the guns
are amazing.
And the stunts have upgraded from, you know, from especially Roger Moore with the green screen behind him.
Right.
And, yeah, doing that.
But those are fun.
That's right,
mm-hmm.
that's right.
Old school.
So our next from James Bond, along those lines maybe, maybe not. Have you ever been told you look like someone famous? If so, who? Hopefully not James Bond.
There's a woman named Lauren Holly. I think that's her name. She's an actress, and she's the only person that
she's,
I've ever heard.
She's Jim Carrey's wife.
I
at
think
one point.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
she
Dumb and Dumber,
is.
And
mm-hmm.
she did, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Nobody else. And I think that I find frequently that people look similar to either other people that I know or famous people,
mm-hmm.
and but I'm not one of them, I don't think.
No?
No.
Never.
No, do you see
famous?
Anything? On the spot.
That's
turn
a,
the question
yeah, yeah,
around.
No, that's not allowed in these interviews, so we'll go to the next one. I can tell you, how about me? I'll do a double turn. We'll do a U-turn.
I need to think about it.
Okay.
I'll get back to you later.
You can throw me at the very end.
Yeah.
And I actually have, there are a few that I'll test to see.
Sometimes it takes a while to interact with someone before you see it, because it's not just appearance, it's mannerisms.
And it's also, you know, the more gray hair I
of
get,
course.
It changes, you know, as to who. The most hated chore on your household chore list?
That's a great question.
That wasn't mine. Someone else came up with that one. I'll take credit.
Vacuuming. When I was a kid, we lived in Australia, and we had all tile floors, and we had three dogs. And I had to vacuum every day, because my mother could not stand dog hair. So sometimes I would try to just vacuum a little bit or sweep a little bit and get away with it, that kind of thing. But she had set various traps for me around so that she would always know. And so to this day, I vacuumed every day through high school, never a break, and I cannot stand vacuuming. I'll do anything to get out of it, really.
And you vacuumed, it was tile that you vacuumed?
It was tile,
Really?
It's an efficient way of cleaning tile floors, more so than sweeping. And her philosophy, sweeping, spread the dust around. So vacuuming is the one.
Sucked it up.
And then my parents... I don't want to use the word con, it's a little harsh, but they negotiated with me to do ironing for $1 a week.
Mm.
And my stepfather, when I was growing up, wore a business shirt every day, and, you know, I ironed all of those shirts every day, and the napkins, and the tablecloths, the pillowcases, so ironing is also... It's not
right.
My favorite.
So if the Ford dealership and all that, you go a second way, you could always go into the dry cleaning.
Oh,
and
I am excellent housekeeping lady. I can do that. I can do every domestic chore. I know how to do it. I was taught. I know how to clean a bathroom. And it is a good skill, because I think kids need to know how to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important preparation for being a roommate and being a spouse and living with others, that you can clean and you know what clean looks like.
So I think
that kids who don't learn that are missing something.
Okay, but don't invite Amy over to vacuum. Okay, who would you most like to be stuck in an elevator with? Power's out, you're in the elevator, closed quarters. Who would you like to be stuck in that elevator?
I think I'd like to be stuck with Julia Child.
Okay.
Yeah. Julia Child is a fascinating person to me. She had a spirit of adventure, and she was always open to new experiences. And I love to cook. I think Julia Child had a fascinating life and, lived in foreign countries, just was afraid of nothing. So I admire her very much. And I think she was a lady that didn't have any children and was kind of a pioneer of a field and, with this first cooking show on television or just about, just kind of an amazing pioneering woman.
Did you see the movie?
Not yet.
Julie.
I read the book.
Okay.
I read the book, and I've cooked out of that book a lot, the Mastering the Art of French Cookery, and there is some crazy stuff in there. I mean, things covered in jelly and breaking down a lime lobster. So it's funny, when the whole concept of that came out, I thought, if I ever had a year, I wouldn't mind having a crack at that myself.
I know, because I think Meryl Streep was...
Yes, which I love. I love Meryl Streep.
Yeah, so
yes.
I hadn't seen the movie. I was curious to see if you thought Meryl did a good Julia.
I haven't seen it.
It's almost a lost art. And they talk about with so much of the short, get your meal done in 20 minutes.
Exactly.
And this type, has been certainly the trend more of late. You think that will cycle back? That Julia Child talked
about?
And
I think it is a symptom of society now, where we text, email, voicemail. We have to eat in 10 minutes. Everything needs to be in and out. Whereas a properly prepared meal, where you take joy in preparing it and then take joy in sharing it, and you have a 4-hour-long dinner, I mean, that is lovely. And I hope it'll cycle back. I hope it is. It's alive at my house. I make people come. I lock the door. I'm not allowed to leave until we've eaten every course.
And then you make them vacuum afterwards.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to. What would be one thing, if you were stranded on a deserted island, what would be one thing that you would take with you?
Chapstick. Chapstick.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I can't live without chapstick. And maybe you were looking for a more highbrow answer than chapstick, but I always think about those survivor people. I couldn't make it for 3 hours without a chapstick. Yeah, and I bet there's a lot of people watching this who will agree with me.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, I see it everywhere.
I was just at Graceland, and I bought my Major Elvis fan chapstick. Right here. Joe, you get that?
Oh, yeah.
Major
Graceland,
Elvis fan
chapstick. That must have been fun.
$3 chapstick.
$3 chapstick. Can you eat that?
But yes, I am a fan of chapstick as well. I can sympathize with that.
And, cooking implements would be good, but you didn't ask my second thing.
Okay, what's your second?
Yeah, I think you need some equipment if you're on a deserted island. You need some cooking implements, some fishing gear, some good
whips. Survival
whips.
Stuff, right? That's very practical.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Survival, it's chapstick, that's
it. Yeah, chapstick, mm-hmm. Okay. I go with that.
What do you think is the greatest invention of your lifetime?
Of my lifetime, I think the greatest invention is the medication that keeps AIDS patients alive for longer. Mm. And that is, with no preparation, that's what I can come up with. That pops into my mind that when HIV and AIDS was discovered, came out, we mm-hmm. knew what was going on, it was completely a death sentence for those people. Mm-hmm. And we have made amazing strides in science. We may not be able to cure it, but we can help them stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's pretty amazing. And I, medical science people kind of have a special place in my heart, and I am blown away by what they do mm-hmm. and how they did it. I think it is so amazing about the world that there are people who want to do surgery, people that want to be nuclear physicists, people who want to be television cameramen mm-hmm. and anchors and work at the city. And it's an amazing society that we have that it all kind of amazingly comes together. Mm-hmm. And medical researchers, mm-hmm. pretty incredible. Mm-hmm.
Do you know anyone that this invention had helped?
I don't know anyone personally, mm-hmm. but I have friends in. I wouldn't say. Let's see. I hope you can edit this properly.
Mike. Magically.
I know gay people, and it's not just a disease of gay people, but. Some of my friends have been deeply affected by people who have died of AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when it first came out, I think it was in the early 80s, my grandfather had a series of blood transfusions because he had leukemia and a couple of other blood disorders. And he died relatively with a lot of the symptoms that we now know are AIDS symptoms. Mm. And I've always wondered if that's really what ultimately killed my grandfather.
Right.
Now, I know that seems unlikely, but he had a lot of blood transfusions in that time and then mm-hmm. not too long after passed away.
Right.
So,
and if this had been available.
Right. Maybe could have saved him, mm-hmm. helped him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's about quality of life, not curing anymore,
yeah.
but
it is.
Just keeping people around.
Mm-hmm. What historic person would you like to have met? Go back in history.
Mm-hmm.
As far back as you want. The inventor of the wheel. All the way. Or 20 years ago.
There's so many. Alexander the Great. I would have liked to have met George Washington. Thomas Jefferson. Florence Nightingale,
mm-hmm.
Amelia Earhart. I mean, you asked for one, but there are so many.
Mm-hmm. Anything in particular that, off the top of your head, you could think of that you would want to talk to these people about?
Bravery.
Mm-hmm.
I think bravery. Actually, I was recently reading a book by John F. Kennedy. It's called Profiles in Courage, and probably that answer about quotes is in that book, because he had written about acts of political courage where people had to make choices. Senators made very unpopular decisions, things that they knew their constituents would not agree with, but were they felt morally correct. Mm-hmm. And I think that the characters that I referred to all were very brave. Mm-hmm. So I think that courage is a quality that we, in our sort of sheltered existence in our culture, a lot of people in our culture are very sheltered, mm-hmm. and we don't see a lot of bravery in our day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. So I think bravery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, even when we had to put my dog down, I had to make my wife go do it because
yes.
I was not brave enough to do it.
I call that sensitivity, not lack of courage.
Either way.
That is, how long ago was that?
About 3 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
There you go. There's your quote.
There you go. Let's use it.
One more time.
Let's go with it.
Yeah.
Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Very good. Very good quote. I can take that and I'll put it back in the pile now.
Can I tell you a quick story about my old dog?
Yes.
Okay, I had I grew up with dachshunds, and my first dog dachshunds. Almost was, yes. Mm-hmm. So I have two right now, and a lot of people who see this will know that I have two dachshunds, and they're named Patty and Leo. And but their predecessors were two dachshunds named Tom and Jerry. And Tom and Jerry died of old age. All of my dogs have died of old age, mm-hmm. I'm proud to say, or fortunate enough to say. So Jerry's my old dachshund. He dies at 16 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And
he got out and driven a car.
Oh my! And the dog had lived through everything. He'd eaten rat poison. He had eaten huge bags of chocolates that he got out from under the Christmas tree. Figured out how to open the fridge and dragged out, leftover roast beef and eaten the whole thing.
Dog.
Had to have his stomach pumped. All the stuff. He'd been through everything. And people who know dachshunds know that's what they do. But
they get their stomach pumped.
They get into everything. They take
the stomach.
They eat the gum out of your purse. The cough drops. Everything.
Okay.
So my little stepson was, I think he was about 9 or 10 at the time. And this thing came out about how dogs should not eat grapes or raisins, and I have fed my dogs grapes all the time. They loved it. They knew when the grapes were out, and they got to eat grapes. And I was telling the kids that. And my little stepson, 10 years old, and Jerry had just died of old age, 16 years old. My little stepson said, maybe that's what killed Jerry, eating all the grapes. It was so funny. No, honey, 16 years old, died of old age.
Yeah. We all have missed opportunities in life. Is there one that stands out for you? I wish I'd done this, or if I could do it again, I should have done that. Anything that comes to mind for you in particular?
For $20,000.
For $20,000?
It's a joke about the millionaire show. Missed opportunities. I wish I had more actively pursued my legal career.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had been more directed in what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I loved law school. And when I got out of law school, I went to practice, and I kind of just went with the flow of what they wanted me to do. And I think because I love the theory of the law and not the practice of the law, at that point I should have cut it short and, clerked for a judge or worked my way into legal education or done something that, was more fitting with the part of the law that I loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so in that, are you big fans of the a lot of the law shows on television?
Oh my gosh, no, not at all.
No?
I don't watch much TV.
Mm-hmm.
I like cooking shows. Yeah. No, I think most of the law shows on TV are silly.
Okay.
And
so how do you get your law fix now?
Well, I run for city council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a big fix. I love government and mm-hmm. I love the law, so
okay.
This is going to be a really great opportunity for me to work within that part that I do love. And as far as my law fix, in my job, I have things that come up that I am able to handle and
mm-hmm.
research, human resources stuff, customer issues, attorney general regulation of our business, and that's kind of my area, and I get to work on that. Okay. So it's a good thing.
You get it in there.
Yeah, I get it in there.
All right. Ready for the last question?
This is the last question? Wow. Great.
Time goes by fast when you're having fun, right? It wasn't that hard. This is actually a Kirkland question.
Okay.
So yes, this
great.
Is,
this is appropriate.
The campaign, you know.
Okay.
The campaign.
I should have some good stuff.
Here.
Yeah.
There you go. If you were to look ahead 10 years from now, what would your hope be for Kirkland? What would your hope for Kirkland be?
Well, my hope that it would be a city of about 80,000 people. That it, in other words, that annexation would pass, and that we would have a vibrant downtown, shopping, art galleries, beautiful restaurants, signature chef restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see our businesses turn to where they face the lake. I'd love to have a promenade, so sort of continue the... If I had my ideal world, mm-hmm. we would be able to walk all the way along the lakefront in Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to keep our old town feel. That it's not old town, it's we are kind of old town Americana in Kirkland, and I'd like to keep that. But on the other hand, revitalize our downtown to where we could do, you know, I can imagine Kirkland being sort of Candy Cane Lane at Christmas time and Santa and mm-hmm. hot cider and all of those things, and we're talking about that because it's right before Christmas right now. But I'd like to see a revitalized downtown. I'd like to see a vital business district, 85th to Totem Lake. I'd love to see some affordable housing up in the Totem Lake area.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it makes so much sense with the hospital there to have some elder living. I love the idea of a university-style village look with retail down below, affordable housing up above, bike trails kind of connecting the hospital with that Totem Lake Center, and kind of making that lake a beautiful place again that
mm-hmm.
is a center for our city, maybe, you know, recreationally with bike paths and all of that. I'd love to see the BNSF corridor railroad being a bike path through town so
mm-hmm.
that you could, you know, ride your bike from here all the way across to Totem Lake and, you know, potentially into the annexation area too. I'd like to see us be able to do all of our shopping in Kirkland
mm-hmm.
instead of having to go to Bellevue and Woodinville, and I'd like to see a continuation of the high-tech vibe that we sort of have going with Google
mm-hmm.
and bringing that sort of, the people who work at Google are family people and smart people and people that are really creative and good for our community. I'd like to see us be, have the best schools in the region
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to see us be a really family-oriented community. I'd like to see our tree lighting and our 4th of July and our holiday celebrations be something that is known throughout our region and brings people to us. You know, Leavenworth has that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're getting there, but I think we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just need a balanced community where it's a great place to people want to raise their family here, they want to work here, they want to shop here, they want to do everything they need to do in their hometown, Kirkland.
So what, it's a long, long list. What do you think for the citizens of Kirkland, or what do you think it will take for them to help accomplish some of those goals?
Well, I think we have some great infrastructure in place right now. The city does a great job of outreach and neighborhood involvement, and I think we're going to extend our neighborhood network into the annexation area. And I think we're going to use our network of neighborhoods, which is pretty unique to Kirkland, to create some task forces
mm-hmm.
to get things done. and I think we need involvement. I think I love to say in our business, people will say, you know, they need to do this, they need to do that. And I tell them, you are they. It's up to us. We have to get involved, we have to do things. And if someone doesn't create a group that takes care of I love the idea of neighborhood associations spearheading a senior watch program, and maybe some of them already have that, mm-hmm. where I have two older ladies in my neighborhood, Grace and Mary, and they, and I want to make sure that every couple of days somebody knocks on the door and makes sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. And these kind of projects are, they're grassroots, and they take people being involved, mm-hmm. and so I think that's what Kirkland Citizens can do, is get involved and not just ask the city to do it, but start to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right, Amy, if you could tell me, do you have a life motto?
A life motto?
Mm-hmm.
Live and let live. I think that I try really hard to be very accepting of other people's lifestyles. That's why I call myself a fiscal conservative but socially liberal person. I think it's important to honor how everyone chooses to live their own life.
And, you know, that's different than the James Bond film, which is Live and Let Die, right? So you,
right.
you can get your life motto in with, you know, with our James Bond theme here and
right.
in this talk.
Yeah. Don't you think that all the people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones? And I just think one of the great gifts we can give other humans is to accept them the way they are, mm-hmm. and take people as you find them, and, you know, just find the good in every person that you meet, or every person that you are get to work with. Mm-hmm. Every person is, and we talk about this a lot at work, every person is a package of good and bad qualities or things that you appreciate or don't appreciate. But you know, you have to take people as you find them and love the gifts that they bring and kind of deal with the rest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Amy, for stopping by
Thank
to visit.
Thank you for having me.
And telling us a little bit more about yourself. And best wishes and best
Thank
of luck
you.
In the upcoming your upcoming first term.
I'm excited about the opportunity.